You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Okay. Well, Papa, I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for your son. I thank you for the victory that Jesus has already won. And I thank you that we find ourselves right smack dab in the middle of what you are doing on planet Earth. Why? Because we are your body, Jesus. And we are your hands. We are your feet. We are your mouth. We are your eyes. We are your ears. We are your expression of Jesus on the planet. I thank you that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And that's good news. And I thank you that it's always good news. It's 24/7 good news. And I thank you that what we focus on expands. And so, Father, you are bringing our focus back to you today, back to that place of peace and abiding and enjoying your goodness and our inheritance in Christ. And so, Father, as I jump into today's prophetic word for November, I pray that you would just use me and speak through me, think through my mind, and share your heart and your opinion with us today. I pray, Father, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you would be granted to every single listener, every single person that's watching it live. And I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and we know the hope of our calling. So I just release this podcast to you. And I thank you that you will draw who needs to hear it to hear it. And we can trust you, Father, with our lives. We can trust you with what is going on in the world today. And we thank you that you can speak to us clearly about what it is that we need to be focused on and what we need to be doing with our time and our energy. So I bless our time together today, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, okay, you guys, I know we have listeners from around the world, and but I do think that today's broadcast is not just going to be for American listeners, even though today is election day and we have a really big election going on here in the States. And I know that is at the top of mind of Americans today. And so I just wanted to spend some time chatting with you. It just so happened that the word of the month was recorded on election day. And I just think it's perfect for what I've heard Papa speaking over November. So how do I want to kick off here this morning, Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to kick it off with a scripture. And I'm going to take us this morning into Luke chapter 7. And I was reading in the Mirror Translation this morning, so I'm just going to take it over there. And to give you a little bit of background of what's going on here in Luke 7, this is where John the Baptist gets arrested. And his disciples come to Jesus. John's disciples come to Jesus. And this is kind of the context. I'll just start reading in verse 19. This is Luke 7, 19. And I'm going to read through like verse 23. It says this. So they went to Jesus and asked him. It says, with them watching him, Jesus continued. And again, this is the Mirror Translation. His therapy of healing and cured many who were suffering from all kinds of diseases, as well as those tormented by unclean spirits. He also restored sight to many that were blind. Okay, so John's disciples are watching Jesus perform miracles, basically. Okay, in verse 22, it says, Jesus then answered the two disciples. Now go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind see and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised and the starving have good news proclaimed to them. And verse 23 is where I want to focus, it says, and it's where I want to focus. And here's what it says. And tell them not to allow the idea of fate or judgment to rob him of the bliss of knowing who he is and what he has in me. Offense is a snare. Okay, so I'm going to read that one more time just so that we can kind of jump off and really let it sink in here for a moment. It says, tell John not to allow the idea of fate or judgment to rob him of the bliss of knowing who he is and what he has in me. Offense is a snare. Okay, so how does this apply to what is going on in American politics today? Well, first of all, I want to remind us this morning that our joy and our bliss is not found in who is the president of the United States or what is going on in the political arena. Okay. Our bliss, our joy, our peace, right? Our internal state, our disposition, our emotional home is anchored in the reality of who Jesus is and who we are in him and what belongs to us in Christ. And the beautiful thing about this source of joy and peace is that nothing can steal it. Not unless we allow it to, okay? We have a source of stability. We have a source of joy that transcends what is going on in the world. In fact, Jesus told us to be of good cheer because he had overcome the world. And I think another important point than this scripture here is that it says offense is a snare. And so as believers, as those who have been called to live in union with Jesus and represent Jesus to the world, we are and have the ability, we are called and we have the ability to live in a state where we are unoffendable. In fact, Danny Silk wrote a really powerful book. I think that's the name of the title, called Unoffendable, that is really worth a read, especially during what's going on right now, right? But I just want to remind you guys that offense is always a trap. And that it is really easy, in fact, we're seeing it all over the place, where to get offended by, you know, the political situation. And it is really easy to get offended with others that don't hold our opinion or hold our political views or agree with our paradigm of the world. So regardless of what side of the aisle you are landing on and how you are voting today, I want to encourage you, and not only that, really, no matter what is going on in your life, okay, regardless if it's a political election or you're just, you know, walking through life and dealing with the circumstances of life and dealing with people, right, in any form or any situation, whether, you know, you're just watching the news even, like it is so important for us to remember that offense is always a choice. And it is not what is going on externally that should control our inner world or our inner disposition. It's not what happens to us. It's not what we experience in the world that should define us. In fact, it's suffering and pain and depression and anxiety and fear come from not really what we walk through, but what we make those circumstances and those things mean. And so I want to encourage you to stay anchored in the source of your joy in this political season. I want you to remain hopeful and recognize that our hope is in Christ and that we are anchored and citizens actually of a kingdom that is not of this world. Okay, so let me just hop on to the second part of this word. Okay, so we want to stay grounded and rooted in the bliss of knowing who Jesus is and knowing who we are and knowing what we have in him. And so the key here is that we need to know God's opinion, okay? We need to know God's opinion about us and we need to agree with God's opinion of us regardless of what we're going through. Why? Because our understanding of Jesus, our opinion of Jesus and our opinion of ourselves and our opinion of what we have in him is either going to be a source of joy or a source of depression. And the truth is we cannot outpace the opinion that we have of ourselves. We cannot rise above the opinion that we have of ourselves. And frankly, the opinion that we have of ourselves will also be the foundation and the influence that determines how we see other people. And the truth is that Jesus has reconciled all things to himself. And this includes people that we have judged as apart from him. Okay. It includes people that we do not agree with politically. It includes people that, you know, we would classify as quote unquote sinners. You know, Jesus identified with the world. Jesus identified with sinners on the cross, at the crucifixion. In fact, he became sin. And through that one saving act of grace, he reconciled the cosmos to himself. And there is now nothing that is separated from Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone is conscious that they've been reconciled to God. It doesn't mean that everyone recognizes the gospel or recognizes Jesus. No, most people are operating under a fallen mindset. Most people are governed by an unrenewed mind. Most people have been conformed to the image of the world. And this includes us, even to a certain degree. I mean, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we are all in a process of awakening to the truth of the gospel and the truth about our identity in Christ and the truth about our union with God and the truth about the supremacy of Jesus's kingdom and the reality of Jesus's kingdom that exists as a right now reality all the time. It is an unseen government. It is an unseen realm of rule and reality, but it absolutely exists. And the kingdom reigns over all. Jesus is Lord over all. And it is so important that we as the body of Christ get into agreement with the future that God has planned for the earth, which is heaven on earth, rather than how we see things actually happening in the earth today. In fact, at graduation at Emerge, this is kind of a spoiler alert here for folks that haven't done Emerge or whatever, but we actually give one more final assignment to Emerge grads, and we tell them to go watch the movie Tomorrowland. And the movie Tomorrowland is a really powerful, I think it's a prophetic picture of what happens when human beings focus on a dismal and horrible future. In fact, it is a testament and a testimony of the power of human observation. And it is also a really, powerful insight into the power of the media to grab human attention and cause us to become negative, to cause us to become problem focused and worried and fearful, and to actually prophesy out of our own mouth and by what we observe a future that we don't want. We actually begin to ruminate on the problems and ruminate on the division and ruminate on, you know, what is wrong with our country and what is wrong with the church and what is wrong with ourselves and what is wrong with each other, rather than what is right and what Jesus has actually accomplished for the world and what Jesus has actually accomplished for people on the planet and the future, which is a glorious future that Jesus has planned. And the enemy understands this. The enemy understands that what human beings focus on manifests. It is a universal principle that has been proven by quantum physics. I mean, if you look at the observer effect or you go and check out the double slit experiment, which I talk about a lot on the podcast, you know that the observation of human beings causes things to manifest, right? I mean, even at an atomic level, when an atom is observed, it is literally just an energy, it's a massive potential. It is an invisible energy, is atoms that are invisible energy until they are observed by a human being. I mean, if you go and try to observe an electron or proton, it will look as though it's a particle. It will look as though it's solid matter, but it will only look that way when a human being is observing it. Otherwise, it will just be, it will collapse into energy and be invisible. Now, I don't know if I'm doing a great job of explaining the observer effect this morning. It wasn't even something I was really planning on talking about, but it's just coming up in the flow. But if you want to know more about the power of human observation, go watch, you know, YouTube videos on the observer effect, or go look at the double slit experiment. I mean, the power that human beings have to manifest reality into the physical realm is something that is inherent to the way that God created human beings to function. It's the same about, is true about our words. I mean, I've talked about the Rice experiment here on the podcast, and I've talked about how we've had students actually set up a little experiment where there were three bowls of rice and there was one, you know, in little bowls, and one bowl had a happy face on it and one bowl had a neutral face on it, and what the third bowl had an unhappy face, and they spoke words of life and blessing to the happy rice bowl. They didn't speak at all to the neutral rice bowl, and then they spoke curses and death over the unhappy rice. And within 2 weeks, the results were evident. The rice that they were speaking blessing over had no signs of decay whatsoever. The rice that they were ignoring and didn't speak to at all had some signs of decay, but the rice that they were speaking to and cursing was filled with, it was just gross. It was black and it was filled with decay. And this is the power of human speech. And this is not something that, you know, you have to say in Jesus' name to. These experiments were done really by people that weren't even Christians. I mean, this is just the power of human speech. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. This is a universal principle that applies to all humans. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, will have what they say." It's a whosoever type of situation. Words created everything that we see in the seen realm. And our imagination and what we focus on is a universal principle. I mean, Olympic athletes use the principle of visualization to improve their performance. I've talked about studies that, you know, where we've had groups of people in the study where you had one group that went and worked out physically for 6 weeks and one group that just imagined working out for 6 weeks. And the muscle mass in the group that imagined working out increased as much as the people who actually physically worked out. Again, these are not Christian studies. These are human studies. And so you can understand the importance of not getting offended. You can understand the importance of viewing the earth as reconciled, as viewing people as in Christ. If what we observe manifests and what we speak creates, and life and death are in the power of the human tongue, well, it makes sense that the enemy would want to control human observation, that the enemy would want to control human speech. Obviously, Jesus wants to control human observation. Obviously, Jesus wants to control human speech. That's why it talks about in Romans 6 to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. Because we are very, very powerful, more powerful than we have imagined, because we've been created in God's image and we've been recreated in Christ. And so the whole premise of the movie Tomorrowland and why I'm bringing it up is because it's literally like what happens when humans agree with a future that is getting more dismal and a future that is headed towards destruction. And I've said this over and over again. Again, it's not something I teach on a lot, but I do encourage you to reevaluate your end times eschatology. Because if I was the enemy and I heard the news that I had been stripped of all authority and all power, that Jesus was seated far above all the power and all the principality and all of the rulers of darkness, that I had been completely, you know, stripped of any authority, then I would have to exalt myself above that knowledge, above the knowledge of Jesus, and I would have to present myself as really powerful. And I would have to deceive everyone to thinking that I still had authority. And I would want to deceive everyone to think that I was going to rise to power and that I still controlled the world and that I was more powerful than the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. And so that movie just shows what happens when the people are duped into viewing a negative future and speaking of destruction. And eschatology is really important because it determines how you see the future. Do you see the enemy rising to power and Christians being persecuted and killed and, you know, this negative view of the future? Or do you see an ever-increasing kingdom of Jesus Christ manifesting? Because you can't have both. You can't have Jesus having all authority and all power and the enemy being able to rise above that authority and that power unless you can see yourself as weak and you can see the body of Christ as powerless and see that we don't have any authority over what the enemy is doing in the earth. I mean, the most powerful thing that we can do as the church and as believers is agree with God, agree with God's opinion about the gospel, agree with God's opinion about the future, and recognize that the media is after our focus, that the world is after using the very creative force that God has placed inside of human beings to observe an outcome and it manifest, and to speak things into existence, to speak and observe the very things that we do not want to see come to pass. And when we have a view that the world is getting worse and worse and darker, well, we will get what we see and we will get what we say. And so it is super important that we retain God's perspective and that we stay in union with God. And we see the world and the future through the lens of the gospel and through the victory of Jesus Christ. And that we see ourselves as Jesus is in the world. And we see people that we completely disagree with, that there's no fruit in their life even, that they know anything about the truth of Jesus or the truth of the kingdom, as precious sons and daughters of God who have been reconciled to Jesus, whether they recognize it or not. Now, I realize that I'm just kind of, you know, blasting through this today, and I may be challenging some long-held doctrines or some beliefs that many of you hold. And all I'm saying today is that we need to question those things, because anything that is not good news is not the gospel. Anything that is not bring us into a place of joy, peace, and hope is not the gospel. The gospel is actually good news, and it's the good news of the announcement of God's kingdom invading the earth. And it is the announcement of God's kingdom invading the earth through us who believe. That's why we are to repent, and we are here to demonstrate the lordship of Jesus through our everyday lives. We are here to demonstrate that Jesus is alive and that there is great hope for everyone's future because of Jesus. And the more that people recognize the gospel and recognize who they are in Christ and step into union with Jesus and renew their minds, the more that the human race will be transfigured, and the more that the glory of God and the will of God will come to pass in the earth. When we agree with death and we agree with a future that is dismal, well, the more that we are actually in agreement with the plans of the enemy. So I know, you know, this can be discombobulating. Is that a word for some people? Because all that they've heard is about, you know, just how the kingdom of darkness is just going to continue to, you know, grow, and that the church is just going to be raptured out and we're going to be taken out of this planet and we're going to just escape all the negativity. But I really encourage you to actually do your homework. And, you know, maybe I'll even put some resources here for, you know, just to challenge your view of the future. What you believe about the future is really, really important. What you believe about the nature of creation and the nature of the universe is very, very important. Do you see a universe that is for you or that is against you? Do you believe that the enemy is running things, or do you believe that Jesus is running things? And I'm not saying that it's fully manifested, but I am saying that the biggest part that we can play in manifesting it is actually the view that we have of the future and the way that we speak on a day-to-day basis about what is going on in the world and about other people. And we really need to tune out from anything that steals our focus away from the truth of who we are and what Jesus has accomplished and from the gospel. And to protect our hearts so that we are not getting offended by, you know, differences of opinion that are really anti-Christ. They are anti the gospel. They are anti the good news of what Jesus has actually accomplished. So, you know, you may have already tuned me out by now, but I am just trying to say that we have a role to play in the transfiguration of the human race. We have a role to play in the transfiguration of the planet. We have a role to play in causing heaven to manifest here in the seen realm. And it is done through our individual consciousness. It's done through our Christ consciousness. It's done through our ability to see the reality as it really is from God's perspective. And the only way to see God's perspective is to step up into heavenly places and sit down inside of Christ and yield your eyes and your spiritual senses to Jesus's, because there's a lot going on in heaven right now. There's a lot that God wants to speak into the earth right now. There's a lot of things that Jesus wants to observe through you as you. He wants to be glorified in your life and in your circumstances as you yield your faculties to him. And you are called to be an instrument of righteousness and to perpetuate heaven here on earth. Now, I said some other things that I said here. So let me just, that I wrote down some other scriptures and some things that I have here. So let me read just a couple of other scriptures. In Romans 2:29, again, this is in the Mirror Translation. It says this, "For you to know who you are in your heart is the secret of your spirit identity. This is your true circumcision. It is not the literal outward appearance that distinguishes you. After all, it is God's approval and not another's opinion that matters most. People see skin deep. God knows the heart." And so I thought this was a really powerful verse because it's saying that outward appearance can be deceptive, meaning you can't look at the way things look in the natural and find the truth. Okay, God doesn't look after the flesh. God doesn't look at the way things appear. In fact, he calls things that be not as though they are. The Apostle Paul said that we judge no man after the flesh, right? That we are to judge people after the spirit. We are to judge them according to their true identity from God's perspective. And even prodigals, by the way, even those that are running from God, that are denying their relationship with God, that are denying the gospel, all of those things, people that are running from God are still considered God's children, are still, you know, the prodigal never lost his position as a son. He lost his understanding of his identity. He lost his opinion. He agreed with a wrong opinion of himself and a wrong opinion of the father, but he never was not God's child. I mean, this is how, you know, when Peter was in the trance on the rooftop and praying, and God kept showing him unclean animals and telling him to rise and eat, rise and eat, rise and eat. And Peter was like, "I've never eaten any unclean thing." And Jesus is, you know, I mean, Jesus was really not talking about food. He said, "Do not call unclean what I have cleansed." In other words, don't judge the Gentiles by, you know, their behavior or their lack of knowledge of me. I have cleansed them. Jesus really did take away the sins of the whole world, whether the Gentiles know it or not. And so don't call anyone unclean. Don't judge anyone by the flesh, Peter. And that includes people that are your political enemies or people that disagree with you politically. It also it applies to everyone. And it especially applies to you, that we must agree with God's opinion. We must see ourselves from our spirit identity and not judge ourselves or anything by outward appearances. So really powerful scripture. Okay, let me see what this one is. Oh, this is another one in Romans 20 that talks about God's opinion. And this is Abraham staying with God's opinion about himself when there was no natural evidence that God's opinion was true. And it says this in Romans 4:20 in the Mirror Translation. It says, "While he had every reason to doubt, he did not hesitate for a moment, but instead, empowered by faith's persuasion, he continued to communicate God's opinion." So it says here, even though he had every reason to doubt, and I just want to say, you can doubt that God's kingdom is expanding. You can doubt, you know, by looking around at the way things appear, that Jesus has lost, you know, control of the world, and that the gospel has become, you know, null and void, and that the future looks dismal. You can look around and say, there is no reason for us to believe in the victory of the gospel, or that the kingdom of heaven is winning, right? But it says here that he hoped against hope and that he continued to communicate God's opinion. So he did not allow his focus to be stolen by the outward circumstances. He didn't let his age deter his opinion. He did not let the fact that it was taking so long change his declaration or his confession. He agreed with God. He had changed his name. He spoke of himself the way that God spoke about him. He called himself the father of a nation. And he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing that God was able to accomplish that which he had prophesied. And Jesus prophesied over and over again that at the increase of his, you know, kingdom, there would be no end, that that believers are more than conquerors, that we have the victory in Christ. I mean, Paul especially communicated these things, that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son, that we have authority over the things that happen through our words and through our observation. I mean, Jesus demonstrated it by speaking to fig trees, speaking to storms. He always knew what the Father's opinion was, and he judged justly. He didn't judge independent from God's opinion. And we really have to let go of our judgment that is tied to our physical senses and really allow God to give us the revelation so that we can see the world through the lens of the finished works of Jesus. So I love that scripture as well. And then the last one that I wrote down was Romans 8:8. It says, it's impossible for those immersed in the flesh at the same time to accommodate themselves to the opinion, desire, and interest of God. And I wanted to wrap up with that scripture today because there are really two mindsets, right? There are two realities. There's the realm of the seen and there's a realm of the unseen. There is the realm of the, what we would call the flesh or just the human, just part of us, the part of us that is governed by the sense realm. And then there's the spirit part of us that retains completely, it's always holy, always perfect, always in union with God. And these are two completely different realities. And these are two completely different mindsets. And these are two completely different focuses. And God's opinion is focused on spiritual realities, not fleshly realities, not outward opinions. And so if we are being governed by the sense realm and what is going on in the world, in the political arena and on the news, well, to be, you know, carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be sense dominated minded is not life and peace. It is death, meaning we will, as the mind, where the mind goes, our thoughts and our emotions and our actions will follow. And those that are led by the spirit, right? We do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so when we are focused on the wrong thing and not on spiritual reality and what is true in the spirit, then we will experience death. We will experience a judgment that is independent from God's opinion. And we will not experience the life of God that only comes as we continue to focus on what is true and what is lovely. And what is true and what is lovely is that Jesus is Lord, is that we have been redeemed, that we are exactly like Jesus in this very moment. So, beloved, I've said a lot here in a short amount of time, and hopefully I haven't ruffled too many feathers today, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say, don't allow the fate of this outcome, of this election, or really anything that is going on in the world, steal your bliss, steal your joy. Your bliss and your joy is in knowing who he is and what you have in him. Okay, it's about knowing the truth. It's about focusing on the gospel. It's about continuing to bless this country. It's about continuing to bless even your political opponents. It's about continuing to pray for those who use you, who persecute you, and do not get offended by, you know, the narrative that is going on in the media and whatever outcomes and whatever, you know, is being spoken by human beings. In fact, we are to be a neutralizing force to the things that are going on in the media and the things that are going on in the world. We are to observe heaven on earth. We are to observe the human race as perfected, as redeemed, as awakening to the truth of the gospel. We can hold a vision for this country. We can hold a vision for even our enemies, right? We can hold our perceived enemies, right? Because God has no enemies. Everyone has been reconciled. Everyone has access to what Jesus has accomplished. And guess what? It will become attractive to people when they see our good mood and when they see that we are not negative, that we actually believe the best about people, that we are edifying, we are encouraging, we speak words of life. In fact, people will want to know the reason for our joy and the reason that we're in a good mood when it seems like a lot of things are going wrong in the world or a lot of things are not going according to how we would like them to go. And so we are to be known by our love for one another, and frankly, our love for the world. Jesus loved the world, you guys. He loved sinners. He loved people that crucified him. I was just talking with someone recently about the last miracle that Jesus did before he went to the cross. And do you know it was to heal the soldier's ear that Peter cut off? The very soldier that was coming to arrest him and take him to his ultimate crucifixion and his ultimate death, like he healed his, you know, perceived enemy. And that is the role, that is the heart of God, and that is the role of the body of Christ. We overcome evil with good. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It is our display of the mercy and the grace and the joy and the peace of God that draws people to Jesus. There's a reason why it was the religious people that were offended by Jesus. There's a reason why the religious people were the ones that actually conspired to crucify Jesus, right? And then people that the religious people would have nothing to do with, they're, you know, the people they called sinners, the people they called evil, flocked to Jesus in droves. I mean, the kingdom is an upside down kingdom. And we have to be really careful not to take on a position of self-righteousness and to think that we are better than people that don't have the revelation that we have, which, by the way, we've received by the grace of God. Right? Everyone is worth the blood of Jesus. Everyone was considered worthy of the sacrifice of God to, you know, the political system of that day and to the religious system of that day. Jesus's blood defines the worth of every human being. Salvation has been made known to all men for every single person. And every single person is worthy of our honor, is worthy of our opinion to be of them the way that Jesus sees them, which is his child, whether they know it or not. Whether someone knows that Father is their father or not doesn't change the fact that they are not an illegitimate offspring. They just don't know who they are yet. And the best way to show people who they are is to remain and abide in who you are and to display the fruit of the Spirit and to display the character of God as you abide in Christ. And so this is an opposite spirit, you guys. It is not a dividing spirit. It's not an accusing spirit. It is not an offended spirit. It is a loving spirit. It is a forgiving spirit. It is a spirit that loves enemies even, because we don't see enemies as enemies. We see them worthy of being healed and worthy of God's love and worthy of the cross, just exactly like we are, right? We didn't earn our way into the kingdom, and no one else is going to do that either. We just heard the good news and we responded. And the God of this world blinds the minds that don't believe the gospel. So we are not warring against flesh and blood. We're not warring against people. Jesus died for people. And so our love and our demonstration of the love of God is actually what draws people to Jesus. And so the more that we observe people and observe our country as a loving, kind country, and the more that we forgive each other and start to see each other by what we have in common versus what divides us, then the more that the kingdom and the fruit of the Spirit will begin to blossom. You know, guys, I really believe that this is an opportunity for the church to demonstrate who Jesus actually is. And that's not going to be demonstrated by us, operating in a spirit of judgment and a spirit of what I want to say, just rejection and speaking evil, even of things that we don't agree with. Right. So I know I've said a lot, and I know that it is, you know, it's going to be an interesting day today, and it's, you know, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, and not everyone's going to be happy. But I would just love to see Christians not get caught up in the future that is dependent upon who's in political office, but get caught up in the future that Jesus has already finished, that Jesus has proclaimed from the beginning, and that God is able to finish. Jesus is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, and he is the end, and he is going to have his way, and the new creation is going to fully manifest, and a new earth will come forth, and the body of Christ will awaken and will rise and the and be transfigured and rise to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And we will be built up in love and we will be known for our love. I believe Jesus' prayer in John 17 was answered the moment that he prayed it. I believe that we will absolutely show the world and be known that Jesus is who he says he is, and it will happen through our love. And so I just think that everything that happens in the seen realm, everything that happens on the earth is an opportunity for us to rise in our union with Jesus, to actually just demonstrate the gospel and to demonstrate the truth and to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. So be encouraged. Be encouraged and agree with God's opinion. Agree with God's opinion about the future. Agree with God's opinion about who you are and agree with God's opinion about others and agree with God's opinion about everything, frankly. You know, don't lean to your own understanding, but just yield your sight. Step up into heavenly places and see the future as glorious. See the future that God has planned for you, that you are doing the works that he ordained for you to do, and see the body of Christ as Jesus sees it, perfected and complete and encompassing everyone, whether they know it or not. So if I've challenged you, you know what? Do your own research. I'm happy to respond with books and things that have podcast, other teachers in the body of Christ that have radically shifted my perspective on these things. And I'm here to support you, obviously, myself. So God bless you guys. Stay in bliss. Stay out of offense. And just remember, God's opinion is the one that matters. So agree with him. Amen. Amen. So we'll post the word up, you guys, on the podcast in the coming days. Obviously, invite your friends of the group if you'd love them to hear it before then. And stay encouraged, stay in the bliss, and keep your focus and your mouth right. All right, let's agree with God. All right, God bless you. Love you much. And we'll see you next week for the last episode in the Impervious to Pressure series. All right, talk to you soon. Love you much.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.